Coming up on First Course First, stay tuned. Because if there ever was a DL 10 out of 10 that was going to get Rachel and Evil to give a 2 out of 10, it's this one. Prepare for vulnerable DL to get his feelers hurt. That's next. Welcome to episode something and a humpin' of Verse Chorus Verse. I am DL. With me is Evil Apocalypso Jimmy. Evil, how are you doing today in this so afternoon?
I'm so afternoon.
It's so afternoon.
You know me. We're double. I like double headers.
Do we need to do a drunk level assessment?
No, I'm fine. I'm not tipsy.
Oh, it's okay. Weird.
To match the album that you picked in weirdness levels.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be not a really. Wrong one. We also have with us Rachel Whitelist, double episode. Rachel White Lips Kissed the Japanese Lyrics Version. Polio. You know what I mean. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good.
I do know what you mean.
You guys are fun right now.
You're
you guys
fresh always... out of picking on nerds from 1988 with that sweater on.
1989, and thank you.
You look like Bradley Cooper in the fucking Wedding Crashers. This is going to be a fun one. Rachel, what was the last episode that you did?
Whatever happened last week. I don't know. It's all a blur, David.
Break it down.
Break it down. Yep,
break it down.
Three songs to be broken.
We're going
to
be busy this month. Evil, you're going on vacay.
Leaving. Ew. Flying you're on a jet out. Plane.
Excited
will you be will you be terrible. Back again, though? That's the big question.
Don't know. I don't want to take your workload.
Another reason that we're going to have to miss some stuff this week, this month, is because Rachel and I are going to a certain music festival to do a little press at. In a couple weeks, we're going to be in Boise doing Tree Fort, huh?
So excited.
Which artist are you most excited to see?
Built a Spell. You're not even going to be there yet.
I can't even see him. I won't be there yet. I'm flying in from Chicago about 3 hours after they are done performing. Ugh. Not very happy. But I do still get to see San Fermin. I get to see Sun Blood Stories. Going to be some more on them later. Probably get to see Kayflay. There's going to be a lot of pretty cool shit that we're going to get to see with our dear buddy Sven, who's going to be directing all of the footage. We're going to record it. We're going to come out with a two-parter, and Evil is going to be nowhere to be seen. He's very depressed that he has to go to Puerto Rico.
It's going to be terrible for me.
It's going to be
You can
terrible.
Be sad and happy at the same time.
You know what I'm
we're
super
have so much fun without you.
Super excited for? They have these nighttime kayak adventures through these bioluminescent bays. That's going to be super cool.
Nighttime?
Yeah, because it's bioluminescent, so you need...
Where'd you sign up for that? Is it howtorobtourist.com? You're about to get jacked, son.
Yeah. I'm about to get jacked and tan.
Hey, speaking of jacked and tan, a perfect soundtrack for workouts, for being in the sun. This is a DL's 10 out of 10. This is rounding off our Michael Beinhorn collection of episodes. In our last episode, I interviewed Michael Beinhorn. It was amazing. I asked him a couple questions about this album, being that it's one of my, I think it's one of the best produced albums I've ever heard. Before that, we talked to the awesome Johnny Vinyl about this unknown 90s album. You guys don't care.
Little album.
Which is now on the wall, by the way, Rachel. Super unknown. Yay. Made it on the 10 out of 10 wall. We're all shocked. This rounds off the Michael Beinhorn coverage.
It's still
and I'm
back.
Very, very, very interested in how this is going to go. Because I've been kind of waiting for something like this. And maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like I'm not. So we're going to see. We're going to see what happens. Mew, Rachel, had you ever heard of them before this?
Yep.
For real?
And I don't know whose influence it was. If it was, let's think, 2005. Where were you? Yeah, it very well could have been you.
I was in Boise.
I was in Boise, ironically enough, in 2005. Maybe. But no, I had heard of Mew and heard this album before. Not all the way. I hadn't heard the whole album, but I definitely heard bits and pieces of it.
That is a little shocking to me.
Is it?
Yes. Evil, we used to kind of fuck with each other as far as music isn't concerned. And this was one of the albums.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was around the same time that you introduced me to Devin Townsend. Introduced you to Mew.
That's fitting.
Turnabout's Fair Play.
Yeah. So I had not heard of them up until that point, but obviously listened to this album back then.
The album is End the Glass-Handed Kites. It is a band called Mew that was okay on the... They did okay on some of the indie charts, but this album grew a bit of a cult following. I don't think quite as much as their album before this, which we'll talk about.
We need to start drinking to talk about this album.
Shots.
It's not painful. No, it's not all bad. Not all bad.
Okay. I have a feeling Evil's going to go full alpha. He's been waiting for an episode like this.
No.
Rachel, same question.
Would you say that I have this? I'm going to cut her off like that true alpha I am. Are you saying that I might have the circuitry of the wolf right now?
Yeah.
It's the opening track title.
I mean, it's not even a dad joke. That's just a well-timed pun is all that is. All
right, fine.
Before we fight, and trust me, I have prepared for this, we got to get to what are we drinking? Let's start with you, Rachel. I saw something that I don't think I've seen since the mid-90s.
It goes with my outfit. It's Brisk. That's not what I'm... I just... And
I remember their commercials? They were like Claymation...
They were like Peter Gabriel, weren't
they? Deathmatch.
Yeah.
They were like Deathmatch. Yeah, it was like, it was Rocky. It was a play on Rocky.
Yes.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It was like Rocky meets California Raisins.
Yeah.
But what I'm drinking for alcohol is lots of things were not in my fridge. Any sort of thing to mix alcohol with. So I have iced coffee.
Weren't you an English major?
Fuck off. Because
that was a sentence for your ass.
Here's the thing. Fun fact is I took a little napsies. I set my alarm for 55 minutes ago, woke up, and then like 10 minutes later, 9 minutes later, you were like, hey, you want to record? And I was like, sure. And so in the last...
You could have said no.
No, I want to hang out. It's just iced coffee in Malibu.
What's the ratio?
I mean, probably 2 ounces of Malibu, and then the rest is...
You don't.
I don't know. I just take it and pour it. I'm not evil. I didn't get hired. Oh, everybody's on one tonight.
We are. Evil, what you got?
It is okay. Number one, I got this stuff here. Can you see?
What is that?
This
Tabasco?
Is no.
Tabasco. It's like a. Looks like a condiment.
It kind of is a condiment. It's a drink condiment. Vegetal de la Grande Chartreuse. So this is the stuff... Turn the label forward.
Oh!
This is the stuff the Carthusian monks made before the liquors. It's the actual health longevity tincture with all the same herbs and spices. I tried to make something last wordish. So I'm just fucking around, really. It's not the greatest... But I'm gonna drink
what,
it anyway.
So what all is it? What are the ratios? What's in it?
Gin, the Botanist gin, ounce of that, ounce of Saint Germain. I use that instead of Luxardo Maraschino.
Okay.
Just to fuck around because we're fucking around. lime juice, ounce of that. And then my yellow chartreuse substitute, which is like Strega, Benedictine, and now a few dashes of this
some
stuff.
Vegetal.
Yeah. I wanted like some sort of elf potion. To go with this album.
What am I drinking? Ladies and gentlemen, I knew I was going to need some booze help. I was going to have to hide in my feelings for this one. This is a tricky... This color is going to trick you, though. And the reason is that
Kool-Aid.
I did not have any Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
I had Ruby Red... what is it? Ruby Red...
grapefruit.
What's like a squirt or like, yeah, squirt, ruby red squirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is essentially instead of Coca-Cola, it's squirt. It is a Long Island iced tea.
Ooh,
so it's more like it. More like an AMF or a.
Yes. So we've got our, now I did make a double because, you know,
Jesus Christ.
You got to make a double Long Island, right? So I've got a little leftover.
You were preparing
too,
for.
You're really leaning into this alcoholic thing this year.
You have no idea. So we do. We have an ounce of gin, ounce of tequila, ounce of rum, ounce of vodka, ounce of triple sec, some lemon, some simple syrup, and some ruby red squirt. Okay. And you know what?
Good Lord. I bet it's really good.
It's amazing. It is so amazing. I taste zero alcohol.
It tastes like juice.
Dude, Long Islands make no sense.
They make no sense. The glass-handed kites, they're coming.
Let's
fucking rock out. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We are back. Go ahead.
You should take a drink every time you're sad during this. Like anytime we say something that like hurts your feelings about this album, you should take a drink.
On my second camera tonight will be the sad DL drink camera.
Yes.
Because that's the one we can see.
Yes.
So it's like you're looking at us.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And the Glass-Handed Kites by Mew. Before we get anywhere, we have to do the friendship test. A tough one just because I honestly have no concept of what they might actually like on this album. So what
is there
I'm,
anything?
Well, for Evil there will be because he likes music. But
oh my god.
This is what I said. I said for Evil because I kind of want to go Circuitry of the Wolf just because the beginning guitar part fucking it does rock. It absolutely rocks.
It does.
But I am going to go Apocalypso because that is the first song on the album that actually the entire way through rocks. So for him I'm going Apocalypso. For Rachel I am going Special because that is the closest song you have on this album to a radio pop banger. Like that's the closest thing you're going to get to that. Rachel, what are our favorite songs?
I also picked Apocalypso for Jimmy for the same reason, because it was the hardest. For you, my friend, I picked A Dark Design.
Interesting.
It sounded like you. It sounded like a little funeral music. It sounded sad, and I thought that's something you might want to lean into. So that's where it's starting.
Oh, gonna be a really long fucking day.
Your poor family.
Maybe I'll record a Rolling Stone episode after this to
be
really
amazing.
Give
you should
you
record something. Don't waste this.
I should. I'll pull a Jimmy and do a fucking what was it? A wisdom teeth? How to make your cocktail cold or what was it?
Wait. I don't know.
Evil. What are our favorite songs on this?
You stole what I picked for Rachel. Special. She is. She's special.
Aww.
Also, pop banger. For you, I this is the hardest one because fuck. What do I pick? There's so much going on here.
It's true.
I feel like this is cheating a little bit, but I picked Why Are You Looking Grave, the song that they collaborated with Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr.
That's a good guess.
Did you know that he's actually on two of the songs on this album?
No.
He's on not listed, Void at the Open Fields as well.
Not listed on one of them.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But no, that is a very, very good guess for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. I do have more to say on that later. Mew and the Glass-Handed Kites. This was released in 2005. It was recorded between 2004 and 5, produced by none other than Michael Beinhorn. We really banged the drum for him. That's what she said in our last episode where we talked about Super Unknown.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is one of like the three albums that really that really show how amazing of a producer he is. This was recorded mostly in Michael Beinhorn's studio in Venice Beach, but Mew actually worked on and recorded some different stuff for this all over Europe, Copenhagen, Denmark. This is considered, I mean, prog rock. It's maybe ambiance. Yeah, I, you know, you like, good luck trying to fit this into something. Its label is surprisingly Sony, BMG. I don't know how the fuck that happened for them. These guys are from Denmark, so it did really well there. It did well in certain pockets of Europe, and it did okay for indie charts on the States.
Also, it won 4 Danish Music Awards, which I don't know how important those are, but it sounds like equivalent to American Music Awards. Well, but
I don't know how important. I mean, I'm sure we have Danish listeners. Yeah, absolutely.
Not after I said that. I mean,
sorry. How dare you? My God.
What are you trying to do?
Yeah. Because of that, your punishment, Rachel, is you get to do the best you can at saying the members of the band that were on this album.
Jonas Beer, Bo Madsen, Johan Volhard, and Silas Jorgensen.
I think that's pretty fucking good.
Those are pretty the first names are pretty easy.
This album is an album for me that you don't hear anymore. It is a something more than a concept album. It is an I hesitate to call it like a rock opera, but it is a album that is built from song one to the last song to try to flow in together in some form of storybook style. When one of my favorite things about this album, one of the reasons I love it so much, and I really think Beinhorn has a lot to do with this, is for an album like this, there has to be so much pre-production. There has to be, you know, this band infamously will not come out with an album less than 6 or 7 years apart because they want that much time to rethink what they're doing, to concentrate on each individual part on songs and come up with an ideal for what they want things to be. There's actually like an hour documentary floating around that you can find on the making of this album, which is really, it's literally just them in studios traveling around. You're shaking your head. Did you watch it?
I watched most of it. I did struggle because I was trying to do it while studying. And it was, you know, I'm not hip to
multitasking? A lot of foreign
languages. No, it was subtitles.
Oh, because subtitles, cause they yes.
Most of it was not in English, so.
Evil, I don't know if it's just a response to the way the world has decided to go, but you have kind of evolved, or the opposite of that word, into only wanting to rock your face off over this last season.
Yes.
So how much did you hate studying for this? Tell me what your thoughts are on this album.
Okay. Out of the gate, it's wildly creative. And I love that. I love how much they're like pushing the boundaries of like song structure and album structure too.
Yeah.
But that is both a strength and a weakness to the album for me. In terms of studying for it, because it's over an hour. It's like an hour and 70 minutes. Yeah, it's like...
Well, the Spotify... So did you all listen on Spotify? But I mean,
that's so it includes the track with the Japanese version.
It includes the Japanese lyrics one and then the after...
Forever one. And Ever, whatever. Here's the challenge studying this album is it's almost impossible to listen to it in chunks. This is a whole experience, like start to finish. And so I feel like it is a musical work that is greater than the sum of its parts. And when you start like picking out songs individually, then it doesn't work as well. And that was a big challenge for me. The fucking falsetto head voice, I can only take so much of that. So that is a... That's just a person. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just a personal preference thing. And so an hour of that at a time. I can very much
understand how the lightness of this guy's voice
yes.
consistently.
Yes.
I can see how that would grate on somebody.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I don't want to let that take away from how talented and obviously talented they are as musicians.
Yeah. Rachel, I want to know, you don't seem like I'm going to sit down with a glass of wine mm-hmm. and turn on an album and just dive into it.
Right.
Do you ever do that?
I'm not a big wine drinker.
I think you understand what I'm saying.
That's not true. I love wine. But I totally see where Jimmy is coming from, because all of the songs blend into each other. It really is hard. Cause I was trying to listen to it the very first couple times in chunks, where I'd listen to a song while I'm driving and then be like, wait, I'm three songs in.
Right.
Because yeah. they blended so mm-hmm. well into each other, which is beautiful for like at an artistic perspective. But I did read a review and I kind of agree, but kind of completely disagree, that it takes away from each of the songs because it doesn't have an ending, but it's not supposed to have an ending. So it kind of, this whole album struck me as how I feel about art films that I don't like, where, like Jimmy said, take a drink, David.
That doesn't bug me.
I can see the art and how artistic and beautiful it is and how talented these guys are, but I don't like it or understand it.
Okay, there I'll drink for that.
Nice.
How much of a chance did you give it? Like how that's
I guess listened to you, it you did, so many times.
You didn't
I
answer promise. My question. Did you sit down with it and just
yes.
track one to the end? And
I did one time listen to it back and forth. I let it come back so many times in this relationship where I was just like, you're an idiot. But yeah. Anyway, but again, I have nothing bad to say. I understand that it's like an ex-boyfriend that I speak well about, where I'm just like, it just wasn't for me. Like, good guy, nothing good to say. If you want to date him, go crazy. But for me, not for me.
Let's talk a little bit about the musicianship. Mm. Because I don't think, from what it sounds like for both you at the least respect it.
100%.
There is... one of my favorite things for bands to do, and these guys are one of the best, this album is such an amazing example of it, is when talented bands take extremely simple time signatures, your 4/4s, your 2/4s, your 3/4s, and just fuck them to hell. That's one thing about this album is good luck. This is not a verse, chorus, verse album. You can't explain it by, oh, you know, the bridge in, you know, Fields. Like, you can't explain it that way.
Right.
And once they get to a certain part and all of a sudden the drums are doing triplets and the bass and the bass drum and the bass guitar are playing on like on the one and then the two E, every single song has parts that completely fuck with your head.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, but it makes sense musically.
Trying to like wrap my head, like, what is this band? Like, if I were to like try to explain this to someone else, and my initial, and this one this is like the rough grope at it. So wait for the next one. Yeah. The initial was like, that's what she said. It's like Incubus mixed with Cynic. Because those are familiar to me. But later I'm like, no, this is Built to Spill mixed with Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah. And that's what that's really more where it's at.
The reason I love that take is because the guitar tone in this album.
Ugh.
Built to Spill is like the t-shirt and jeans band that they're going to get done and they're going to go home and just have a beer and whatever. Mm-hmm. This is that style of indie. But it's the more artsy. It's they're going to get done and they're going to be in their all black suits and they're going to go to some fucking art gallery.
Right.
And
yeah.
But that fucking guitar tone is
it's something else.
It is. It's straight out of your. It is such a Doug Marsh guitar tone. Mm-hmm. This is the hardest type of album to do. You need like 1 year where you're going to space it out, and like in 3 months you're going to go back to it, kind of mm-hmm. with this album. Mm-hmm. And I knew like you were saying, because I agree with you, Rachel, to try to get into this by like, okay, I'm just going to hit on shuffle and try to go work out or something. Like, there's no way in hell. Yeah. That you can do that with this
shuffle
album.
Shuffle doesn't work.
No.
I mean, it works for like somebody like me, but that's just because I know the album like the back of my hand.
It doesn't make sense. It's like putting Friends on shuffle. It's like putting something that has like a thorough storyline.
That is
story
the
line.
Worst example.
I know.
Friends, that deep storyline, don't get into season 5 with that. When Joey puts the fucking turkey on his head, you're never going to understand.
I hate
right?
you so much.
It was like a break. Oh, there we go.
That's actually pretty good. Dun, dun, dun. That's what I'll put behind that.
No, this is like a thorough storyline. You can't put it on shuffle. Even if you know the
You're
album well,
right.
It's just like putting a sitcom on shuffle that has some sort of thorough storyline.
There are other songs on other albums from other artists. That I get when I hear them, I'm like, there was like an intro to this. There was like an interstitial or something that should have been played before this. When I hear them out of context of the album, you know, if they're in like a playlist or something like that, or even on the radio or wherever they are, I'm like there was something that led into this song. This whole fucking album is like riddled with those moments where one thing leads into another. And if, I feel like if you shuffled this, it would feel so incomplete.
It feel weird.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah,
I very much agree.
Like, are Ross and Rachel together now, or are they not? I don't know. I can't tell.
Exactly.
Was the first 12 seconds of this album the biggest cock tease that you've ever had in your life?
That's a good. Yeah. Yes. I'll just say yes. My answer is yes. It's my final answer. I'm not going to phone a friend.
I personally, but it might just be biased because I like the music so much, think that the lyrics are extremely, extremely poetic.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, but there are times where I think that the syncopation came first, that he was looking for specific vowels and specific connotations before he came up with the words.
Mm-hmm. The long explanation, the music is so weird and there's so much going on, like we've said, like it's almost like sometimes the instruments are fighting with each other just a little bit, so it, like, the broken English doesn't bother me at all. I think it's great. I think it's really beautiful, and I think it fits with the art vibe. We're not really supposed to fully understand it. It doesn't sound like broken English because it's so well written, and you can tell these guys are very smart.
There's like an innocence to the lyrics, like a simplicity and innocence. And I didn't even think about, like, you said, like, you know, English is not his first language. I'm like, well, of course, that makes a ton of sense. So cue the dad joke. Would you say that this is written in Danglish?
Goodbye, Denmark. Thank you for listening for the last 4 years. We appreciate you.
I think that's why is part of why it feels so otherworldly to me. It's like, I don't think like how these lyrics lay out in probably the structure of a different language model in his head. His mother tongue is a different language, which means he thinks structurally slightly differently.
Yeah.
With different poetry and different, you know, different arts being brought up on. He's so much about the, like, darkness of night and the snow and the cold.
Because it's written in sort of a, I put this into Google Translate and this is what came out sort of way, it almost makes you, if you're looking at the lyrics, analyze it more. Because, like, in Why Are You Looking Grave? Your mouth is hiding, you've got smiling eyes. Like, your mouth is hiding. Like, what do we mean by that? Like, it makes it, like I said, kind of more artsy and more thoughtful.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to figure out exactly what he means twice.
What, one of the things I like about other cultures and other languages is they have different sort of like idioms and sayings and stuff that don't translate to English to our version of English, like we're like, what does that mean? But it's like, it's interesting. It makes it, it's like ethereal and otherworldly to me. Cause I'm like trying to figure out like that, that clearly was a decision that, that was made for the lyrics of this song. And these are clearly very cerebral, like deep thinking musicians. Yeah.
Even to his look, there's this innocence that it's just this, but it's not timid.
No,
like that's the thing. He actually, he looks, I'm not going to say swagger, but the like I've seen him live in Seattle and it was fucking amazing. And just him standing with perfect posture, and he does kind of have that like the arched eyebrow thing that's almost like a half confused, but there's a confidence in this band that where this music could be timid, it doesn't feel timid because of the confidence. Mm-hmm.
There is a confidence in them that is woven through it that you still appreciate like the delivery.
Yes.
And I feel the same way, like the inverse of that. I feel the same way here.
We can talk about the rest in awards and categories. You guys have kind of taken it easy on me so far, and I appreciate that.
Just wait, buddy.
I'll be waiting. We got to get to the awards and categories. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We are back. It's time to get to the fun parts. The David Crosby Meh Award for bad reviews.
Yes.
Ooh.
Rachel, go ahead.
It's just it's just your review.
Go ahead and give your review. Yes. Here's the title of the review is Mew overrated? I have lost bot games with him. He does not synergize with bots. He can't shred objectives, and his regular attack is just a tickle. It's hard for me to say that he is an S tier when he loses bot games. I never lose bot games as Deucidewey or Greninja.
So that's a Pokemon. Right?
Yeah. Apparently there's a Pokemon named Mew.
Yeah, there is.
Most of my bad reviews were that. The DMX Award, what makes this unique? It's kind of an LOL for me. Like this is such an incredibly unique band that I've never heard anything even close to anything like these guys. Even coming up with influences was hard. Like I definitely hear the guitar tone, that specific guitar tone, but other than that, it was very hard. That's what she said. Rachel, what about you?
I have three sections on this. Innovative sound, conceptual cohesion, and artistic vision. Their approach to music, their creativity, their experimentation. Mm-hmm. It gives
unconventional polyrhythms out the bum.
Yeah, it gives them this original and innovative sound that sounds simultaneously like everything but nothing at all at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Even the guitar tone, even though I have heard like similar, like we referenced Built to Spill, like that's close, but this is still unique. It's still its own thing. So even in the familiar stuff that I hear, they definitely have their own take on it.
And even in the style of music, this is to hear that guitar tone in it.
That's weird as well. Like the approach, the attack of the guitar is different. Even if the tone I've kind of heard echoes of elsewhere, the attack of it's very different. They're wildly creative.
There's a animosity in the guitar that doesn't. It's weird to hear in this style of music.
Yeah, and I think at least in some of it, it's a baritone guitar, which is I've never heard that tone on a baritone guitar before. Yeah. So that alone is something new. It's like a new variable. And I'm like bleeding into my next answer for the Mark Lanegan true rock star. It's the wild creativity. They're just fucking so creative.
Yeah.
Rachel, over to you for the Rock Lanegan. The Rock Lanegan Mark Award.
Perfect.
The Rock Mark Star Lanegan of the Day Award.
You're drunk. And I'm going to play off of that a little bit. Their creativity. It's like everybody came in with an idea and they're like, you know what we should do? All of them. Let's do every single idea at the same time and see how it sounds. And for some reason, it sounds amazing. It works so well. It is a little fever dreamy at times. It's a little fever dreamy the entire time. But It's still, it is.
You killed evil. Oh my God. I already said my Mark Lanegan one, and that's that they're the typical people making music like this are these timid. What's a non-canceled word? Are these timid?
Introverted.
Cucks. Introverted is a good one. Are these timid?
What's a non-cancelable word?
Cuck, right?
Let's just settle on cucks.
Yes. It's this timid. The typical people that make this music are timid. They are meek, arched over backs, wearing scarves. There is such a confidence in these guys.
Yeah.
That I love it, and I think it is very, very rock star of them. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. We're not from Denmark, so it doesn't really, it's hard to apply this. Like because of how brilliant I think it is, I think it's massively, massively underrated its entire existence.
Right.
But I would think that for you two, starting with Evil, the answer would be different.
In its time when it was released, probably underrated, wasn't even on my radar. I would say today it's properly rated by people who know about it.
Mm. That's a good answer.
I feel like it's still fairly, at least here, it's not a well-known album. Like the only through line of knowing about it is through you. Yeah. I've never seen it anywhere else.
I also think it was properly rated. Just
curious. I'm sorry. Rachel, yes, how David rated do you think this is?
It was rated a lot.
In my defense, I usually do that to Evil, not you.
I feel like in Denmark, it hit number two. It was, people liked it there. And I think maybe.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Other movies. I'm alcohol.
Hey-o.
I can't taste the alcohol in the drink. So I've been drinking it like it's coffee.
She can't taste the alcohol in the drink or the pills.
Oh, Jesus.
Brought to you by Jell-O.
Mew, ladies and gentlemen.
There's always room for Jell-O, right?
Yes. All right.
I think maybe it was overrated in Denmark, but I don't know the other music that was happening.
Okay,
at the time.
Come on. You can't do that. Don't shit on their music.
It's not meant to be. This music is not meant to be charted as high as it was. It's not meant to win awards. It's meant to be misunderstood and like held by a few people in scarves.
I agree with that for us, but I feel like in Denmark, some of the bands.
I don't know Denmark that well. That's fair.
I mean,
that's fair.
Their educational system is pretty fucking amazing. So yeah. I could see them, you know. No, you're probably right. Influences and influencees, though, Rachel. That's what I want to hear.
I have three, four of those. Radiohead. Got a little Radiohead. The experimental, the atmospheric, soundscapey feels. Beach Boys.
Oh, because of the lyrics.
Harmonies.
The harmonizing.
The melodies. Pink Floyd. Progressive rock. Texturing.
Sure.
And then My Bloody Valentine with the.
Because that's
of
a good one. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think a lot of 80s drama rock. And this is just right up. I think this is why you love them so much, Rachel, is I hear a lot of like Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush type stuff in here.
I hear Kate Bush. That's a really good one, actually. A
lot of Kate Bush. And then
Peter
Evil
Gabriel's
also loves them because I also hear a lot of REM. Are either of you Elbow fan? Do either of you like Elbow?
I don't even know Elbow.
I don't know what that is.
It's good shit. But I hear a lot of Elbow too.
Okay.
Evil, what about you?
Oh, I hear a lot of the Dark Crystal, some Labyrinth.
Ooh.
Ralph Bakshi, Lord of the Rings cartoons.
That's fantastic. Okay. A little never-ending story, maybe.
A little never-ending story in there.
Sure. Yeah. But all of those played simultaneously.
And acid. Lots of acid as well.
I love that. Maybe a couple shrooms.
Yes.
With your acid.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Never mind the Bullocks Award. Do you have either of you listen to any of their other albums? I know, Evil, you said you listen to some of their
I listen to some of their other songs, but not full albums. So I don't have context to make a call there.
David, do you have an answer?
Words. It is their best album. To me, no question. But I do think that they have, I think Frenzers is a much different, it's an amazing album in a much different way. And then I think one of their albums later on was really good too. But I do think that this is definitely their best album. Rachel, what about you?
Did you see the shrug? Sorry, I have no idea. Sorry.
Oh, I did not listen to their albums. I see what you were doing. I thought you had like a really, really witty answer and you were saving it. The John Paul Jones Award for, I'm going to go Evil first because I already can see that Rachel has a super amazing snarky answer set up. Evil, what about you?
I'll answer that after I make this joke. Is Frenzers a concept album like this where you have to listen to it start to finish?
No.
Okay. So we don't have to call it Frenzers.
Oh, God. Evil, we were on a break.
You guys.
you are going to hate my John Paul Jones Award so bad. Just make it all instrumental, and I will love this so much.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Okay.
It's wrong, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, okay.
Is it wrong?
Dude, the fucking vocals are beautiful on this. You just talked about the harmonizing. What are you talking about, lady?
I agree with you.
It's pretty. I think it'd be great as an instrumental as well, though.
I do too. That's wrong. In fact, actually, you know what might be awesome is if they would just come out with an instrumental version of this album. I bet it would be fucking rad.
Yeah.
I said cocaine. I would add cocaine. And here's why. I was just, there was so much creativity.
It's a hell of a drug.
But I did feel a little bored.
Here's my very, very surprising one. And Evil, you will automatically know that you've lost. But
take him away.
I would take Damascus out of this. The very, very few the few lines that he has in it is this jarring kind of, it's Damascus. Like all of a sudden, it's Dinosaur Jr.'s voice in there with this kind of his like kind of croaky. It, to me, it doesn't fucking fit. Sorry, Jay.
All right.
Someday like come on the podcast.
There's a great Henry Rollins bit about him. He loves Jay Maskus and Dinosaur Jr. And he's like, I met him one time. You know how Henry Rollins is. And he's like,
yeah.
And I'm like, hey, man, what are you about? And he's like, well. Because if you've ever seen Jay Maskus, he's like, that's just how he is. That's funny. So I don't think he would be. That's probably the response he would give to you when you say you should take it. He'd be like, yeah.
The no, dude, seriously, award. Rachel, what song are you giving to people to show them the album?
I feel like the gateway drug to this album is
much. You worded it much better than I did.
Thank
you.
Is Apocalypso. I feel like that's the one to get people going. Yeah, and then they can be let down by the rest of the album.
Get them on
but them
that,
that song.
Thump it out. Watch your fucking mouth. Mine is Zookeeper's Boy. It's going to give you everything. You do have some flat rock out there. It starts with I don't remember what time signature it is. I don't think it's 4/4. And the guitar is doing something very weird, but it's still fucking rock guitar.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get Glockenspiel falsetto. Are you my lady? Are you? So you like that song runs the gamut. Evil, what about you?
Same. For all of those reasons, I think it's a good example of the range that is explored across the entire album.
Sure.
It was not intended to be a single, but they made it a single because of popularity or somehow it became like, I think it went to number one. And it wasn't even.
I remember
even,
that.
Yeah, they didn't even.
Because I remember plan they had on to change. It. They had to change the endings, and well, no, they didn't have to change the endings. They made a radio-friendly ending for Special and Zookeeper's Boy.
Yeah.
And I remember this is 2005. I remember it being on whatever social media platform was. You know when you I don't think it was MySpace anymore, was it? Or was it MySpace still?
It was still 2005 MySpace.
It was MySpace.
Remember the song that played when your page opened was just mm-hmm. the biggest, it was the most yeah. important thing in the world.
Yes.
I remember these two songs were massive. Mm. Like for some reason on MySpace, those two songs got huge.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, when you suddenly remember like a full year of your life, that's, that just happened. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Sure.
The John Popper Award, Evil. What's the best hook on this album?
So sticking with that same track, the chorus for that song gets like totally stuck in my head.
Are you saying you like it or are you saying it gets stuck in your head?
I think it gets stuck in my head.
He's saying it gets stuck in his head.
Yeah. But that's what the hook,
that's the point of the hook.
The hook brings you back, right? I mean, that's what I think of, right?
You ain't telling me no lie.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it is the chorus, if you will, for "The Seething Rain Weeps For You," which is the speaking of better days. Mm-hmm. There's so many things I want to say. I want to say more about that later, and I'm going to. Rachel, what is the best hook on this album?
I said the chorus of "Special." That is what got stuck in my head.
What's the chorus though? The ocarina, you can't say no, or the "I know you said to me."
I think it was just the repetition of. The repetition
You wrote down the chorus and you can't remember what it sounds like.
I didn't write down the chorus.
Oh.
Okay. It's just, I wish I did.
Oh,
it's
like the verse. You mean, so just the, "You're special."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
There it is.
I try so hard. The John Prine, see, I know fucking country. The John Prine, I actually don't, I don't know who sings
that. You know that song.
But I know those three parts.
Right.
The John Prine Best Lyric Award, "All Things That You Rely On, You Can Never Undo." I think that that is amazing.
The guitars that come in at 131 on "Circuitry of the Wolf."
That's your favorite lyric?
Yep. It's a joke.
That tricks you again, Evil, because then all of a sudden you get the falsetto coming in and it turns into a major.
I do have actual lyrics that kind of caught me. I made a truce with the blackest dire. I fucking love that. That was on A Dark Design, I think.
Yeah, it is.
That's actually a good, really good lyric. So I'm fucking around here being playful.
The speaking out, she said to me, "I'm twice colored. Wait till you see how they're in love with my sickness." That's good shit. But our resident lyric head,
that's me,
Rachel, what is the best lyric on this album?
In special there's a line that's there's a taste you can't shake.
Yeah,
and that was another one of those like weirdly translated but makes sense lyrics, and I really like that. There was a lot of good lyrics in here.
"Our love is a fickle love, keeps itself locked in a suitcase to be ready to go always." That's good. That's really good. We got to start with Evil for the Eddie Van Halen Award. What is the best riff, best solo?
Where Fox Cup goes into Apocalypso and the guitars of Apocalypso kick in is...
Yes. You're talking about when the drums start revving up, when it's like...
Yes.
And they get faster and faster.
It's a crossover from one song into the other. And that just is... That is so fucking awesome. It sells the whole song for me.
I love that answer. Rachel, what about you?
I said the opening riff on "Zookeeper's Boy."
The weird offbeat.
It's catchy, it's dynamic, it's setting the tone for the rest of the song. I thought it was great.
So I've got three. There is a...
Imagine that.
That's cheating.
There is a vocal break after in the song that... if there ever was a title of a song to make sure Evil was not going to give an album a 10 out of 10, it is "Saviors of Jazz Ballet."
Yeah, that tracks.
But that song breaks and essentially turns into a different song. And then there are just, it's basically a cappella. I think there's like maybe some flute in the background. You can't tell because the vocals are so beautiful that you can't tell if like it's a flute or just somebody's voice. That's brilliant to me. I love the vocal parts at the end of Zookeeper's Boy. That's really great too. The like four different parts singing together in unison. But my favorite is in Special, and this speaks to what I was talking about in the beginning, how that song is so basic, 4-4, and then all of a sudden they get to that first bridge or chorus or whatever, and the guitar just starts like this, dun 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 dun. It like just completely goes off into some fucking, I don't know what it is, like 8-11 weird time. I love that so much. The Surfer Rosa Award, I guess I'll start with this for me, and to me, I'll say it again, this is a story of an album. This is, they don't make albums like this anymore, and no. I personally love it. This flows, it literally flows. It goes from one song into the other, and I'll speak to this now, actually, because the vinyl, I remember the first time I listened to it on vinyl, and I went through just a sea of emotions, you guys, just an absolute sea of emotions, because I looked at the vinyl and I saw how it was split up, right? And I was completely pissed off because the way that they split up the vinyl was Dark Design was the last song on the first side. And then Saviors of Jazz Ballet started the second side. And I was so pissed because like, how the fuck can you break that outro intro,
right?
But then when you listen to the actual vinyl, Jazz Ballet actually starts on the first side, and then before they go into that lyrical breakdown I was talking about, that starts on the second side. So I was like, wow, that's fucking brilliant. They made up for it. Good job, guys. You win the Surfer Rosa Award, which is not winnable. Rachel, what about you?
I loved and hated how this was put together, in that it flowed so well together. But with that, there was no climax. There was no come down. There was no exciting points.
That's what she said.
And that's why he's someone else's problem. so well balanced, but I didn't like the way that it was laid out, honestly.
You killed evil again.
I appreciate the flow through the whole album. I think it's a cohesive whole that's greater than the sum of its parts. I like the first half more personally because there's more of the rock oriented stuff sprinkled in that half. So
yeah,
for me, that's more what I'm looking for.
The Time of Your Life Award. What is the worst song on this album?
Are you ready for this?
I was born ready.
It's all of them.
Oh.
And here's why. The strength and weakness of the album is how seamlessly it is woven together.
Yeah.
And the album is greater than the sum of its parts. So if you take any one song out of that, it's not as good as the entire album.
That's a very good answer.
I feel actually like you just found a way to call this like a 1 out of 10 album.
And if you take one song out of it, then what does that make it?
Rachel.
I want his answer. That was a great answer. I would just chop off the end of the album, like the last couple.
Like starting where?
Probably White Kissed, Lips White, White Lips.
No,
Lips
Kissed. You can't. So just the last two songs?
Yeah. It gets a little boring.
I mean, if you...
I'm going to get fired.
I knew what this
you knew what you were
doing. I knew exactly what I was doing bringing this to the fold. Not counting the Japanese edition bonus, whatever, with the White Lips Kissed and the Forever and Ever. I don't like the version that has that on it. I would say Louisa. And very closely to what you were saying, Rachel, I do think that this album is one song too long. Once it gets past White Lips Kissed, which I fucking love that song, I'm exhausted. And halfway through Louisa, I'm a little overstimulated.
That's a over 7 minute song too. So if you're already at that point and That makes sense.
Rachel, what is the what are the three best songs on this album?
I'm going to start this with Special is not on this list.
Not on just, yours.
It's not on the list at all.
You just did that despite us. It was when we started this.
It was a little, it was not. did you see me typing? It was a little too peppy poppy for me. And because of, that's not what this album was meant to do. Oh, I felt like it wasn't for me personally. Number three.
Number three. Let's do it.
Because it's on Spotify. We don't have to pay for it. number three.
What does that even mean?
Because it's free. Because like it's Spotify. We can listen to whatever we want.
That's true.
We have to pay for the album.
You don't pay for your Spotify?
I think Trevor does. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why I have Spotify. I'm pretty sure at some point we got on a family plan like 5 years ago. Number three. Seething Rain Weeps For You. Mm. Number two, Apocalypso, which is Evil's favorite. And number one, Zookeeper's Boy.
Wow.
Wow. I feel like those are good ones.
Fantastic songs.
Thoughts?
I love that. I think Zookeeper's Boy was my first favorite song on this album. Evil, which three songs really grabbed you and made this one your favorite?
Why is this at a 10 out of 10 for you, Evil?
Number three.
what's number three? It's
going to be
free?
Funny.
Free. Coming in at number three is The Zookeeper's Boy, the sleeper hit off of the album And the Glass-Handed Kites by the band Mew.
You are so quiet right now.
Number two is Circuitry of the Wolf. You were right. It teased me a bit coming in. I was expecting more of that, which I did get a little bit more of that, but it was a little bit more of that. And then the song that I think I already kind of gave it some props earlier in terms of the intro from the song that blended into it is, and you guys are both right, it's Apocalypso. That song just is fucking great.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's fucking awesome.
I was an easy mark. And yeah.
Love that about you.
So my number three, you were close, Rach, is A Dark Design. I love that song. I love when they kick into the, when they start doing the Everly. And that's another one of those parts where two instruments are doing like a 4-4 or maybe a 2-4. But then you have like, I think it's the bass drum and the bass doing a completely different thing. I love that. Number two for me is Zookeeper's Boy.
Yeah.
For the reason I stated, beyond it just being a brilliant song, I think it was my first, it's the reason that I love Mew. Yeah. But my number one, and I want to talk just a little more about the lyrics for this one, because this wasn't going to be my number one until I studied for this, and it bounced probably from like my three to my one. And it's The Seething Rain Weeps For You. Yes. It's poppy. It's the guitar is super bright. His singing is super bright. But what I love is if you read the lyrics, this is about someone close to him dying. This is about like a friend dying. Saying goodbye now, looking at friends, a lump comes into my throat, hearing them all speak of you. But the song is so positive. And it's so bright, and you don't get that often. A song that's about someone close to you dying is dark, or it's sad, or it's slow, or it's, you don't get this. You don't get this super happy song about how much this guy is going to miss this person. Mm. And I fucking love that. I think that's great.
You have pumped up kicks.
It's no pumped up kicks.
But that's a peppy song about
This Is America, but it's close. It's goddamn close. Rachel, who won the album?
You, David. You won the album. Next question.
I won the fuck out of this album. Evil, who won this album?
Creativity won this album.
I'm saying Denmark.
Yeah, Denmark did. They did, I think. Good for
that's
Denmark.
That's the Mew trifecta. That's the Mew triangle. Rate this album, Rachel.
9? I don't like this album. 10? I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Because it is a...
What?
I feel like you don't listen to me when I talk, David. It's a very, it's a very well done, artistically beautiful album. It's not for me. It's an 8 or 9 out of 10. It's a very good album. I don't like it.
I think it's admirable that you have the ability to score something that high when it's not for you. I feel like there's something in me that would keep it to at least a 7 if it was something that I couldn't get into.
No, I think it's really, really beautiful. But I'm not going to listen to it again on purpose.
If I was rating it on just the songs, if I like split the songs apart and rated the album as just songs, it would probably be like a 7. Out of the context of the album, there is creativity on display. They're technically brilliant.
Yeah.
It would lose so much if it was split apart like that. I think as a whole, it's like closer to a 9.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And this is an album that I think I want to have on vinyl, but I won't listen to a bunch. But when I do, I'll be really into it the couple times a year that I peel out and put it on and sit back in my recliner with my wine and drink and listen to it like DL has prescribed.
I'm going to hide how excited that makes.
But I won't do it very much because it's a fucking lot. This was a lot. This is a lot.
I would very calmly, acting like I'm not freaking out inside, say to Evil, I think that if you bought this on vinyl and like you said, once a year, just sat down with a scotch, I think you'd be into it.
I know I will be. That's what it's for. There are movies that are like that for me that I'll watch once every 5 years and I'll be really into it. And then I'll be like, I don't need that in my life anymore for a while. And that's what this album is.
Yeah.
We know what's coming, right? We know what's coming. I was hesitant because I do feel like this album is a song too long. But the brilliance of, I mean, for me personally, Circuitry of the Wolf into China Berry Tree into Why Are You Looking Grave into Fox Club into Apocalypso into Special into Zookeeper's Boy into A Dark Design into Savior into Envoy. I could keep going all the way to Louisa and say that is a perfect run. I have to give it a 10 out of 10. If my personal opinion thinks that all those songs flowing in together are perfect and it's one song that kind of maybe shouldn't be there, it's a 10 out of 10. It's going on the wall. The wall's going to, Jesus H. We had our last episode, 10 out of 10, got on the wall. We're done with Michael Beinhorn and his brilliance. What a guy. What a brilliant artist.
Yeah.
Join us next week, ladies and gentlemen, because our interviews for the month continue on. We are done with Michael Beinhorn. We are moving on to our next guest. And next week, oh, God.
Let's not do that. Let's rewind.
And next week, if it was, it would have been a funny joke if I didn't include the interviewee. Yeah. And next week, Rachel and I get ready for her in a G-rated way. Next week, Rachel and I prep by by talking two albums that one of them and a 94 favorite for yes. It better be all of you. And then one of them, an album that came out last year. Rachel, how excited are you?
Very excited. I was very surprised in listening to the newer album that I was as big of a fan of it as I was. I thought, you know, 30 years would have been enough time for somebody to fall out of favor of something that I loved so much in the 90s. So anyway.
Evil, can you fight the seether?
Nobody can. Nobody can, Evil.
I mean, I could try, but.
I appreciate them both. In the utmost for talking about this album with me. 5 for them, 1 for you, or something like that.
You know, I was amused.
Good night. And good luck.
Fucking idiots.